Why do you say that, Father? You aren't afraid, are you?
No. But I respect some of the superstitions of others. Often they are founded in fact.
Broadcasting live from our Sanctum Sanctorum in Venice, California, this is the Sixth Sense Society. I'm your host, Krista, here with our producer, Michael, and today we are so excited to have back on the show Marnie Olson and Carolyn Marshall of Cosmic Playhouse. And we're going to be talking, or they're going to be talking, about Election Day astrology, which looks really dramatic and interesting. But before we get started, Michael has a few announcements.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to our show. It's really great to have you here. And we always look forward to it. It's a lot of fun, and we're just getting ready to wrap up our fourth season. So we only have a couple episodes left this year. We're taking a little break in December. So join us for the last couple episodes, and then we'll see you again in the new year. We've got a great guest coming up next week. It's Master Chaos, who is the host of Master Chaos TV, and he's a paranormal investigator and film buff and so forth. We'll be talking about maybe some of his most favorite supernatural films and things of that nature and all things that go bump in the night, so join us for that. You know, the best thing you can do to help our show is two things. You know, click like and subscribe. That really makes a difference. And, of course, tell your friends. We really appreciate that when you do it. Get all the information on our website, sixthsensesociety.com, S-A-X-T-H, all spelled out. And if you can afford to, buy us a coffee on Ko-Fi. It helps cover a little bit of our cost. But we love doing the show, and we're going to continue to do it because we're having a blast and meeting great people, and it's just a lot of fun. So I don't want to take up too much time today because I know it's an important day with Election Day and eclipses and everything else. So I'm going to kick it back to you guys. So take it away, Krista.
Great. Thank you so much, Michael. And welcome, Marnie.
Hi. How's it going?
It's going. And Caroline.
Howdy out there.
So I'm very excited to have you doing, this is the first time we've done a show like this, an Election Day astrology show. So I'm very excited, and we're doing it on Election Day, of course, but it is a dramatic day, isn't it?
It's a very dramatic day because there is a full moon, an eclipse, and as we were discussing, don't think there's been an eclipse on Election Day, maybe ever. Today's looking pretty dramatic. We've been talking about it for a long time, like what is this going to look like? So we actually did look at the chart for the eclipse, which the exact time of the eclipse was 6:02 a.m. And so at that moment we have a full moon. So you've got the sun at 16 Scorpio and the moon at 16 Taurus. We've also got Mercury at 15 degrees Scorpio. Saturn's at 18 degrees Aquarius, Uranus is at 16 degrees Taurus. So there's a ton of activity that's also setting off that eclipse. That's a lot of the big boys are in there. And so it is looking pretty dramatic. Just quickly glancing at it, I was thinking with this, you know, the Uranus and the Mercury conjuncting and squaring that, you know, you got to kind of ride the roller coaster a little bit and not get caught up in any little moment because Uranus is constant shifts and changes. Mercury is, of course, shifts too. It's very mercurial. It can change on a dime. So, you know, the best thing I can say overall is try not to panic because if you just give it 30 seconds, it might look completely different. So I'm sure that it's going to be probably with that Mercury too, it's going to be a chaotic news day. So buckle up.
And it's supposing Uranus.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, I think that's going to be pretty intense. So that would be what I would say overall, looking at the chart. The chart itself also has Scorpio rising, and so all of that activity, the Mercury, Sun, Venus, is all up against that ascendant, and then the North Node, the Moon, and Uranus are all on the seventh house axis. So there's a lot of this, like, I think, conflict between, and I think that's politically what we're looking at, a lot of that conflict between individual freedom versus, like, you know, social, more of a social connection or thinking of the other, which I think we sometimes get caught up in a lot. That's just what I would say overall. We got Saturn at the bottom of the chart, and of course Saturn and Uranus doing another, they're in close. We're still doing that Saturn and Uranus square off that's been going, you know, on and off for years now.
Now, one of the things I've heard with eclipses is they, in classical astrology, they affect leaders more. Is that true? Like they can have more of a, at least classically, effect upon certain leadership or leaders in terms of power and taking down power. And I didn't look up Biden's exact sun sign, but he is a Scorpio.
Oh, don't get me started.
He is a Scorpio.
Yes, he is a Scorpio.
We have his chart here somewhere.
Oh, good.
Actually, the eclipse, the old, back in the old days, the lore is that symbolically on an eclipse, that the king, and I don't know where this is just one of those astrological lore stories, so you might want to fact check this, but it really can't be fact checked because it's war. But the king on the eclipse, they would often, when it, they knew there was eclipse coming, and I think this might be in England, if I'm not wrong, the king would be taken out, and they would have someone dressing up as the king on the eclipse.
Like a stand-in.
Have you heard that?
Yeah,
before?
I heard that too. The stand-in for authority.
So, for the authority, so that if, when the terrible thing happened, because it's symbolically, because it's the sun, it's the ruler, and it's a terrible, you know, gets eclipsed by that. The moon eclipses it, that it's a, I mean, that might be a solar eclipse, but I think it bears with a lunar eclipse too. So there's that sort of theatrics of having the fake imposter king, right? Mm. Which I thought was kind of, and someone else was talking about this too, about what happened in England with the strange, like Liz Truss, when she came in later, she came in, and it was almost like she came in and then was taken out.
Right. Like, and they had her up against, in a weird way, they had her up against like the head of lettuce to see who would last longer. And this head of lettuce sort of became symbolic of the leader that actually held on longer or something. It was very strange.
Right. I thought that was interesting. Someone was talking about that. I thought, yeah, that, symbolically, that kind of is.
Right. And eclipses are all about obscuring, you know.
Well, and also something. Kings must die on the eclipse. It's a very dramatic, you know, historically speaking, in that. They, you know, because it was terrifying and they would, they didn't know what was going on. And so, so I think that the fact that we're electing leaders on this day is very, it's very symbolically fascinating,
right.
Yeah. So Biden is a Scorpio. He's got a lot of Scorpio. And so the Scorpio Taurus axis right now, the moon is in Taurus, the sun is in Scorpio. Biden is a Scorpio with moon in Taurus. So
I forgot he had moon in Taurus.
Yeah, and so a lot of astrologers are like, well, it depends on who's reading the astrology, but Jupiter is trining all of his, you know, Scorpio, but Saturn is squaring all of his, Scorpio and his Taurus. And so his chart, but he's a Scorpio. They kind of live in that. This is sort of the dark realm, you know. He's he has dark Brandon after all.
They can withstand a lot of tension.
And they kind of live in internally in that. It doesn't look like it, but so it's interesting to where how that astrology for that him will hold up, because it is getting a lot of stress on his chart today, a lot. And then he's going to have Saturn squaring all of his, you know, all of his Scorpio. Because it's later degrees, not all of it. Mm-hmm. But when Saturn starts squaring it at the end of the year, like next month, in January, there's going to put a lot of pressure on his sun. But then his moon is at 0 degrees Taurus. And Pluto is going into Aquarius, and it's going to exactly square it. And that scares me. Right. I mean, not to be alarming, but I think that when Pluto hits your moon, it's especially because his is in the sixth house. That could be some...
Yeah, I was... Well, because I told you I was listening to the astrology podcast with Chris Brennan this morning, and they were talking about that sixth house stuff getting hit, and like how so many people are like, oh, it's his health, it's his health, it's his health, and everyone's freaked out about that. But they brought up a really good point, which is that the sixth house is also... It's the work, and it's like... it's kind of like it's your cabinet, it's your staff, absolutely, it's your employees, it's everyone around you. And so much of what he's up against is like, who is he going to have to be working with, and how much tension is going to be there. And that's what we're looking at. Is the House going to flip? Is the Senate going to flip? You know, or is he going to be with all this? Is he going to be surrounded by more opposition?
Well, yes, and remember, the moon, his moon is the thing that's going to be squared by Pluto. Moon, symbolically, is your house.
Yeah.
When I was looking at it, I was like, oh my God, his house is going to change.
Literally the house.
So if I'm predicting this as a predictive astrologer, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting. His whole house is going to be Pluto square the moon. But that's a tremendous, that's such tremendous feelings of loss. So, you know, that worried me as far as, you know, predicting, you know, so I put, you know, Biden away because that's a special case.
Yeah.
You know, as far as predicting, you know, the outcome of, you know, what's going to happen in January.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the square aspect, because people throw that out a lot. And it seems to me there's different kinds of squares. I can't remember waxing, waning, but this is more of my experience of like squares recently, is that they can make things really creative. But I think it depends on if it's waxing or waning, that if you think of a square, you're building a square, right? But you don't have the other sides. And I think it also depends. I mean, obviously, if it's square in your moon, some people think the moon is the body, too. There's a whole argument about that in astrology that that could affect his health for sure. And he's older.
Absolutely.
But the idea of... the square, I've thought a lot about when I've had them, and that there is this incredible energy that you're pressured to use, and it seems like you can sometimes break through some things as a result, and it doesn't have to necessarily just be unpleasant or difficult. And that the trines for me kind of make me lazy. Like, I mean, that's just me. I'm like, you know, like, this is... So, I don't know. It's just, I watch how things affect me a lot, and I think that there seems to be different kinds of ways squares impact people, and that idea of it being I know that you can't see it coming sometimes, what it is, the issue. I think that's true. But it seems like you just start using the energy differently.
Right, with the transit, a square
transit. Yeah, a square transit.
Yeah, and well, the square is more dynamic, so what happens is... it pushes for so much growth. Now, when you have a trine, things are kind of groovy, you know, and cool.
Right.
So there's not really that internal tension of which brings growth and change. That's where the squares are. So squares aren't good or bad, or, you know.
It's just, yeah, it's building this tension. It's building this angle that sort of forces you
and
into action.
Yeah, and it brings growth, and it's very extremely creative. And matter of fact, you know, people who are born with, I was born with a lot of squares. I have a grand fixed cross. Not that this is me, but there are a lot, you know, the really people who bring in their own, like, for instance, Gandhi. Gandhi had, you know, his chart was just wretched as far as, like, he was, you know, like 15 crosses in his chart. But he used his will, you know, to, you know, his will that has been, you know, forged into all this internal tension and suffering,
right,
to kind of change the world. I mean, you know, you can say what you want about Gandhi.
Yeah, we
whatever.
Go off for a while. But
I don't, you know, want to go there. Yeah. But I'm saying, yeah. So I know that people that have... were born with a lot of trines, because you always think, oh, you're so lucky. But they just, you know...
They can kind of coast a little bit more.
They coast a lot, and that's awesome. And, you know, maybe it's their lifetime.
And those of us who are all racked with all the crosses are looking at them like, why are you just coasting?
And they're just coasting, and they're chill, and it's all good.
Good point.
Right, and there's not a lot of all of that internal, you know, pressure to... You know those voices and all of that drives people to create, to make changes, to grow. You know, so yeah. But when you take somebody that as like Biden's his elderly age, you take that in consideration. But also, when you look at, when you have a Scorpio with a lot of planets in Scorpio, they're kind of a, you know. Like I said, they've got all this internal darkness anyway.
Right.
Like,
they're used to the death idea.
Oh, yeah. And it's kind of like I always say, they're always like, you know, Br'er Rabbit. You throw them into the Br'er Patrol.
And they're like, this is great.
Yeah.
I like thorns.
Yeah.
I'm into the fiery hell pit. It's
kind of
chill.
Their element. Because I remember last year when we had the Scorpio Taurus eclipse last year, you know, the last one we had last, you know, It was like, that's when, I don't know, they passed the big bills and all of this stuff. And it was right on Biden's ascendant.
And interesting. Son.
It was. Wow. And I was thinking, there you go. Oh, Biden's in the burger plant. Yeah. And people get him on because they see that Sag rising. He just seems like kind of a goofy old guy.
Right. He's like, you know. And
yeah, that's, he's presenting with a Sagittarius, you know. Huh. So, you know, the good old Uncle Joe.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's not. There's a lot of time. And it's really funny when they started calling him Dark Brandon.
Right.
Because I thought, yeah, he's starting, Scorpio is starting to rise up.
Yeah.
You know, it is rising up. He's starting to
and
show that.
And sometimes that's the last thing a Scorpion does before they're
before that stinger.
The last thing they do is sting. That's their last move. So yeah. I would say, you know, don't mess with them too much.
That's good, Marnie. Marnie always has, you have this thing about Scorpios. Eventually, even the sweet ones.
Eventually. I don't care if they have Sag rising and they seem like your best friend. Sooner or later, you're going to get it.
You're going to get stung by eventually by that. So it's interesting. And now that the Scorpion, you know, he's like, he's getting backed up against the wall. Like, they're coming after him.
Right. And that's when they're meanest. So
oh, yeah.
Like, don't back a Scorpio into a corner
ever. Yeah. And they're darkest. So,
yeah.
But in a way, like I said, he's kind of in, Scorpios do that. They're kind of in their element when things get
right.
dark and, you know, tense. And that's what I'm saying. So
right.
that's why this is so interesting as far as trying to game it out, because I've been trying to game this
right.
out for like 2 years now, like what's going to happen in 2024 and 2023. So,
yeah.
But we did do an inauguration, because this is what we've been looking at the aspects, all the astrologers are, because it is the election of trying to game out how is this going to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because it's so insane, you know, it's an eclipse, it's conjunct Uranus, squaring Saturn and Mercury's, you know, and Academia, all this stuff. I look to the inauguration day of the new house, and, you know, because that will tell you a lot more about the new administration
mm-hmm.
starting in 2020. So that is a whole different, we're in a whole different place by then. Yeah, I know, the energy is so much different. So, There's a lot going on there, because we did that too for trying to game out 2024. We looked to the inauguration day and it gives you a lot clearer. And I did it too with 2020. So
right.
what I'm saying is, instead of looking on the election day and trying to figure out how it comes out, you know, by predictive astrology, look to the beginning of the administration in January. I think it's January 3rd.
January 3rd, yeah. I mean, I did the chart for noon, because that's, I think, the official when they swear in the new.
Right.
So what's going on then?
Well, we have.
Sun. So we'll, obviously the sun will be in Capricorn. We're going to have a Gemini moon at 7 degrees, Mercury in Capricorn at 21. Pluto's still going to be in Capricorn. That's like 27. Jupiter's at 1 degree, Aries. Mars at 8 degrees Gemini. So we've got a Mars. Mars is going to be right on that moon. There's going to be a Mars moon conjunction.
That's nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a lot of, I don't know. That seems like a clearer vision to me. Saturn at 22 Aquarius. Still have Saturn in Aquarius. So
Uranus is going to be trining the sun. Got Uranus and Taurus trining the sun in Capricorn.
Yeah. Mm. And that looks much better for economically speaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go over that a lot today before we came.
This is literally the first time I'm looking at it, because I just printed it out and I was like, I'm going to pull something out of my butt for that.
Uranus.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So everybody really wanted to know. Everyone is like, well, what is your prediction? And every astrologer that I'm watching on YouTube and everywhere is going, no, not doing it this time. No prediction, because of the Uranus aspect.
Right.
In astrological terms, Uranus means
surprise.
Unpredictable.
Yeah.
So you're saying, okay, you want me to predict the unpredictable. So then you try gaming it out. Like, okay, well, what if I predict the opposite of what looks like it's going to happen? Then once you start predicting it, oh, it's supposed to be unpredictable. So it's really a very, you know,
right,
you know, very shady.
It's the thing when you try to figure out, like, okay, it's Uranus, so it's going to be the thing I least expect.
Right.
So anything I can think of is already not going to be it.
Right. So it's a very tricky. Yeah. It's very tricky. And Mercury, and a lot of people aren't talking a lot about Mercury. Mercury is all over the place in this eclipse, and it starts out It starts out because it's a Kazemi, so it's going to be, and it's really interesting. Actually, there's three.
So tell people what a Kazemi is. Kazemi, not everybody knows.
Yeah, I'm sorry. A Kazemi is a conjunction of a planet with the sun, a superior conjunction. Like, okay, so it's, but what's interesting about this is Mercury is in Scorpio, right? And the sun is in Scorpio. So, you know, they're conjunct. That's what they call conjunct. But with this Mercury, my understanding, and my science might be a little fuzzy here, my you know astronomy, but Mercury is going to be, it's going to go from, I believe, the night sky to the morning sky. So in other words, it's going to disappear behind the sun, and Uranus is going to be also eclipsed by the sun and the moon, right? Now, something like that, okay? So in other words, it's right, really yeah, actually, you know, it's the occultation of Uranus. Today, it's so crazy. So Uranus is getting, you know, occulted, being, you know, eclipsed basically by the moon.
And Mercury by the sun.
Yeah. Mercury's getting eclipsed by the sun. I hope I haven't lost anybody here. It's kind
of, I'm only following it because I'm like looking at the numbers.
Okay.
So,
here we are. We're in between all of this, right? Here we have Uranus over here, and here we have Mercury over here. So that's what, but that's so crazy. So with this, to put it on in theatrical terms, Mercury and Uranus are going backstage.
Right.
Or hiding. But when Mercury in Scorpio and Uranus in Taurus, when those two go at each other, it's like, it's crazy town because Mercury is the trickster, first of all, and Mercury is in Scorpio and it's got lots of secrets,
right?
You know, and it's hiding backstage. And, oh, they call it the throne of royalty, by the way.
It reminds me of those, the cartoon fights. Where you have the animals and then they just have like the obscure cloud and you see a leg stick out and then another leg stick out. Yeah. And you're like, oh, the cat's winning. Oh, no, the rat's winning. Oh, no, the cat's
that's
winning.
Exactly,
you know, and
it's
like,
good.
You don't, and you're like, you just have to wait for the dust to settle because somebody's going to end up bloody on the floor. Maybe both, maybe what, you don't know. But it's like, you keep trying to figure it out and you can't.
Right.
It's
right.
Just like.
Right. That's very good. Marie. Yeah. And that's sort of, yeah. So we also have Venus. Venus is in exile. She's in her detriment right now. She's in Scorpio.
Scorpio,
she
right.
does not like being in Scorpio, and she's also in the underworld with hanging out with Pluto. And
she's hanging out with her rapist, so she's not happy.
Well, yeah,
that's Pluto.
It's yeah. true. And she's in the underworld with yeah. Pluto. You know, the myth of Persephone going down.
Right.
That's the myth of Venus when she goes into the.
The underworld.
She's not retrograde, yeah, but she's in the underworld. She's yeah. going between the morning sky and the night sky. But anyway, so you have the symbolism of her. She's hiding out backstage too, but she's busy getting betrayed and, you know, raped or whatever. Sorry, that's a little cavalier.
It's a little dark.
Well, I would disagree a little bit because Venus and Scorpio may have overcome that.
Well, that's
Venus
the story.
The story of Persephone, no one talks about when she becomes the queen.
Well, yeah, she comes
And what happens when she embraces that part, because obviously that's a huge part of the myth. We're all initially drawn into the abduction part. And Venus and Scorpio, my understanding, is more of that lusty, dark side of Venus, and Venus and Libra is more of the fine, refined energy. And I forget, there's like a name for each of the Venuses that Aaron Sullivan talks about it. And that we have to learn to embrace both sides of Venus in ourselves,
right.
Which I thought was really fascinating.
Right.
That lusty, sexual Venus and the one that loves people and has refinement and beauty and
yeah,
to me it's like the integration but
yeah.
Well there's the Earth Venus and Sky Venus like yeah. Venus rules Taurus which is the Earth and Venus rules
right.
Libra which is the sky and that's the two natures and also she's also when she's in the morning sky she's the warrior goddess. When she's in the, you know, evening sky, she's the love goddess. And people always forget about her being a warrior goddess.
So yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, and she's down there with Pluto right now. And the thing is, the reason I'm saying she's with Pluto is because she's going to sextile Pluto really soon in a couple of days, which I thought was really interesting. Venus and Pluto, they're in cahoots. What are they up to? But they're in the underworld. So, yeah, so there's all this backstage drama going on. What we're seeing on stage is all carefully curated, right? This is, you know, the playwrights have it all set up, but there's, you know, like someone said, everyone's battling backstage. It's like maybe they're just finding out who's going to go on or, you know, whatever.
Right.
That's my scene.
You know, it reminds me when you're talking about what Michael Moore said about the voter turnout, that the polls are wrong.
It's all theater.
And he was right about Trump. and that he mm-hmm. thought, and I thought, well, that's a very appropriate thing to think, is that the polls are off today or before, like that right. we're not even getting proper polls and voter turnout. And then you reminded me of all this, like maybe there's more going on behind it's the absolute. Scenes that we're in different states and different right places, that the dark side of people are, that's rising, like all the women being still. Someone mm-hmm. said, oh, the Roe versus Wade thing should have happened right before the election. I said, do you think women have forgotten about that? Are you okay. insane?
I'm like, no one's forgotten.
That brings me up. Can we pick? Okay.
Yeah, yes. we can go there.
We've
for
got
sure.
our little astrological jeopardy here going on.
So pick a card, any card.
Yeah, that one right there.
With. Remember the 8th of November?
Remember the 8th of November. I don't think you can read that.
I can read it.
I mean, I know you can, but you can try to read it and figure out what I meant. But those were notes for me.
Venus trine to Neptune North? I don't know. And Pallas Athena and Black Moon Lilith. Right. Oh, this was that shrine you wanted to talk
yes,
about.
Yes, this is the shrine too. So this is why, you know, I'm calling this Remember the 8th of November, because, you know, this is, like you said, that's why when I was trying to figure out what the symbols were today, because there's so many of them, you must forgive us for going all over the place, but there's a lot. So, but Uranus is in Taurus, right, and it's conjuncting the moon and the North Node. Right. Now, Taurus is ruled by Venus, right? Which rules like the economy and wealth and money and finances and stuff like that. So you're like, oh, well, that's what people are caring about, I guess. But then it's like Venus is coloring all of this, right?
Right.
And the moon. And so it's going to go, the energy is going to go with the moon Uranus, North Node. And being in Taurus, ruled by Venus. And then we have the Neptune, Black Moon, Lilith. What a conjunction. And that's all women's issues. So that's why I was calling it, you know, it is November. I do yeah. think the women have been. And because Venus is hiding symbolically, like she's right. out of the picture. Everybody's over here, blah, blah, blah. And it's like you said. Forget about the women. Oh, the women are over it. They don't. They're just thinking
that
about how much gas is.
Ago.
Yeah, they
can't. Fine.
They can't keep all of that in their little heads. You know, it's like no. Do not discount women. And that's it's so condescending to me
yeah.
when
yeah.
I hear that. It's like, well, all the women really care about is you know, the price of bread and gasoline and you know, and it's like they've forgotten all about that.
Like, no,
so long ago.
Haven't forgotten that.
No.
It's also it's that thing where when I did turn on the news today, and it was a huge mistake because I was watching them, like everyone that was on the scene, they were intentionally amplifying all these voices of people like, well, I voted Republican straight down the ticket. I just care about crime. You know, it's just like they were intentionally amplifying certain voices after saying they'd be like, oh, no, I've interviewed all these people who are voting Republican. I interviewed all these people voting Democrat. This is who I interviewed. And then you're only going to show us the clips of the Republicans because I feel like you're trying to rile up a certain, you know, you're trying to rile people up in a certain direction.
Right.
And it's like. So we have to that's why I say be careful about listening to what's being amplified
and
chill.
And that brings point. Us to the throne of reality. I keep saying the throne of reality.
The throne of royality.
That's what it's called.
Royality.
Royal reality.
Royal reality. Hey, that's hard for me. The throne of royality.
Royalty. You keep trying to put reality in there.
Yeah. I know I do. Reality. I do. I do want to make it reality. Anyway, yeah. So who sits in the throne of royalty today, right? Symbolically, it is Mercury. Mercury is, you know, casino with the sun.
Right.
The ruler, God, whatever. And Mercury is the messenger. That's the news. That's the shit they're telling us.
Right.
And the story.
And all everything going through on social media. And
yeah.
The news.
And then
yeah.
we have Mars. Beautiful Mars, in Gemini, squaring Neptune and Jupiter. It's like, this is all a delusion. It's
right.
all
right. And Mars
just,
is in retrograde, so
yeah.
it's like there's so much tension below the surface, too,
mm-hmm.
and on top of everything else.
Right, but the theatrics and the deception and the delusions and everyone's getting caught up with it. It's all just this, it's all like we're just being hypnotized by this ridiculous, it's very emotional. Yeah. It's extremely emotional. We're all being emotionally manipulated in so many ways. So that is all over the chart. And I wrote down here Sag Gemini full moon because in December, on December 6th or 7th.
I think it's 7th, the 7th, yeah.
We have a Sagittarius full moon. And Sagittarius symbolizes oftentimes the truth. It's the truth, and it's just, you know, straight up, no
it
bullshit.
It can be very blunt. It's very, yeah, whereas, no, of course, bullshit. It's a full moon, so then you're going to have the opposition with Gemini, which is frequently a little bit, you know, less known for the truth and more
well,
known
yeah,
for
that's
deception.
Why,
and
yeah. So, but what happens is the day before that, Jupiter goes direct. So that's why this whole, what I'm trying to, you know, piece together here is, we're not going to see anything. It's going to be chaos for the next, you know, because Mercury and Uranus, and they're not going to be counting the votes. It's all going to be just theatrics and shows. And that leads us to this card here.
The Red Mirage.
Yeah, I do think it's not going to be a red wave. Well, it might be a red wave, but it's going to be a red mirage. And because, now check this out, you might like this one, because the red planet Mars is at 25 degrees, and it's in Gemini, and retrograde squaring Saturn and Jupiter and Neptune. And Neptune, that's the big lie, right?
Right.
The big delusion, and Jupiter makes it bigger and more glaring. So it's all, and the Mars is a red planet, and it's just like, oh, it's all an illusion. It's all been an illusion, and we're all getting set up.
That's right. Well, you've also got the weapons of mass delusion, which is that.
Oh,
Mars,
yeah, that
one's
a good one. That's actually a book that just came out.
I'm sort of fascinated with Mars right now because it's going over my moon, and I've been dealing with that, thinking about that square to Neptune, and I think I talked about it before. One. Like, there is this like spiritual help that is available, though.
That's good.
That is different than I've ever experienced. Like where you, if you really maybe like double up on whatever spiritual practices you do, because of that square, Neptune can have a positive effect, but it's definitely bringing, I think, more delusion with actions and ideas. Like you're not sure what is what, you know, with the Mars and Gemini. I think it's those two together that's causing more. Because Mars in itself doesn't cause the confusion. Because someone had said, oh, Mars in retrograde is confusion. Said, no, it's the aspect to Neptune that would create that kind of.
Right.
That's not its deal. Mars is, you could have repressed anger in a retrograde.
Right.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But anyway, I thought that was, it's one of the interesting things about that relationship between Neptune and Mars. But I definitely feel like I agree with all the, what's really going on. There's this like drama that's being in the media that's even maybe worse than normal, though it's been pretty bad.
Yeah, and you're right though. Mars is very direct energy, but it is in retrograde and then square to Neptune. Neptune is very indirect energy.
Yes.
Yeah. You know. Well, that's passive aggressive.
Well, and that's why I said, called it weapons of mass delusion, because Mars is kind of, Mars just likes to make weapons out of everything.
Right.
Everything, you know, and so it's in Gemini.
And in Gemini, it's going to use your words against you.
It's weaponizing of the story of the media.
Of the news, the
media is being so weaponized. It's kind of redundant.
And social media is a huge weapon. Yeah. I don't want to get too much into the Twitter stuff.
Oh, right,
it's so insane. But that is such like Mars in Gemini. Like, so that.
And it's all coming crashing down because it's all, nobody, it's kind of like everybody.
Evil egomaniac.
We are all in a hall of mirrors.
Yeah.
Nobody knows who it's really.
I did want to say something historical, but the last time that Mars was in Gemini completely, like not going backwards into Cancer, was October 28th, 1943. And January 10th, 1944, and ABC began broadcasting. I thought there was, and I knew there'd be something technologically going on historically, and so maybe the Twitter thing is somehow related because, you know, obviously it's got other planets, but I just thought, you know, I try to look for a repetition of themes like astrologers do. I said, well, there could be something with technology now with Mars and Gemini and retrograde.
Right.
So I just thought that was kind of cool. Synchronicity or historical aspect of Mars and Gemini.
Yeah, I think I was thinking about that as beginning of the technopocalypse because that's what a lot of astrologers are calling Pluto going into Aquarius,
right?
Which is for the first time in March 2023. And I was thinking, as they're talking about how tech is just, this is what's happening at Facebook. It's crazy, right? Yeah. And the big tech is starting to, they're just starting to spin out.
Right.
And it's like, I do think this is the beginning of, this is the foreshadowing of what's coming in like March. Like, I think it's going to be madness.
Right. And there's so many like tech companies that are like, oh, well, Twitter's going off the rails, so let's start up Tribal or Blue Sky. There's all these other people that are like trying to come up with the next big social media thing so that people can jump ship from, you know, whatever.
And they might be able to actually,
because the metaverse or whatever.
Mars is also will. I've been studying what Mars is, and it's your willpower. Right. And you can evidently, according to one astrologer, you can redirect your will during a Mars retrograde. You can take it and see where you want to place it more. So I love that idea of smaller companies thinking about that now, because I think that's possible, really.
Right, right.
It'd be helpful for sure.
And I think with it being in retrograde, too, there could be a lot still going on that we can't see it yet, but maybe once Mars goes direct, we will.
And remember, Pluto and Mars are both about power.
Right.
It's power. Pluto is sheer power. So right now, big tech has a little too much power for their britches.
Right.
They got a little big for their britches here.
No kidding.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so they're kind of imploding. So we'll see.
And right, because we have these huge, I mean, they're just like these like ridiculous evil overlords that are like, what?
I know, they're
own everything.
Yes, they
everything
do.
Everything is Musk and Zuckerberg, you know, just owning everything.
And right, so it's, yeah, and we have the Aquarius is the people.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, the Aquarian ideal, Aquarius, you know, they're not real crazy about the rich bee.
It doesn't benefit the group.
Yeah.
Right.
When it stopped, the social media is about forming these little groups. And when it's like, when you can no longer benefit your community and your group, that's not an ideal that's going to work for Aquarius.
Right.
Good point. Yeah, absolutely. I look forward to seeing what
Aquarius
happens there.
Aquarius is like, you know what? I'm sorry you broke your leg. We're going to leave you behind. We got to think of the group. Sorry.
That's right.
We're not all lovey-dovey.
No, definitely not.
Right, right, right. Right.
It's not like, yay, love humanity. It's like, no, sorry, you're holding us back. Go.
Yeah, it can be very ruthless.
It can be ruthless.
But remember,
yeah, it's
Pluto. Pluto's going to be very ruthless.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it will be. So with all of that energy going towards, you know, Pluto in Aquarius and a 20-year age of, you know, technology, you know, breakthroughs and awakenings and, you know, revolutions and all that. So we're sitting right on the precipice of it. We're sitting at that really, that degree. There's a bunch of stuff I want to talk about today, but I don't know if we're going to have time to get to them. I did want to talk about the Hammer of the Gods.
Okay.
Go for it.
The Hammer of the Gods?
See if you can figure out what my notes were, Marnie.
Nancy Pelosi, March 26, 1940, Uranus return, Uranus at 19 Taurus. Oh, that's right. So she's having her Uranus return coincides with the Uranus return of the start of World War II.
Yes.
Pluto and Leo square Saturn and Taurus. I do have Nancy's chart.
Is this related to her husband's attack?
Yes, the reason I wanted to bring that up because
horrific.
And it was just, I remember when I was watching the news, I heard, you know, about, you know, her husband getting hit in the head with a hammer. I thought of something. I was like, oh my God, I remember years ago looking at her chart and seeing that she had Mars in Taurus at 25 degrees conjunct Al Ghul. And Al Ghul is, you know, the Medusa's head in astrology. It's a fixed star.
Right.
And it's called the Demon Star. And it's all about, you know, basically that, you know, the head of Medusa and you know, traditional astrology can be very dark,
right?
But it's also
rules over like beheadings
beheadings.
That is dark.
The Chinese have a name for the star. They call it corpses building up. And in World War II,
that's very dramatic, China. Thank you.
Well, in World War II, Uranus was in Taurus and eventually hit that point at 26 degrees. And that was like,
talk about
23 million.
Corpses were building up.
Yes, they did.
Everywhere.
They did. So I had noticed that years ago that she had, and I thought, that's interesting because she's so intense. I'm like, oh, she's got Mars. I'm like, oh, that's, and then when I saw that news story, I'm like, wait a minute. Her husband got hit in the head by a hammer? She has Mars conjunct Al Ghul, exactly. So I started looking it up, and it brought up all these really fascinating issues and ideas about the time she was born. Nancy Pelosi is having her Uranus return. Most of us don't live to see that.
Right. Right. Yeah. 84, is it 82, 84?
Between 82 and 84 years. Right. And the thing is that she was born the very beginning of World War II. So her planets, all of her planets, are pretty much the same chart as the beginning of World War II. So we are at the Uranus return of World War II. And Uranus was at 19 degrees Taurus when at the start of World War II. And we're right there. Wow. And Jupiter was in Aries. And Jupiter is going in Aries. And whenever Jupiter goes in Aries, that's, you know, I don't want to be, you know, too dark. But, you know, that can bring big actions.
Big conflict.
Big conflict.
Big war. big war.
So that's really interesting to me that she's here now with the same aspects, very similar to the stuff that was happening building up to World War II, because we are having those aspects, and that's just, you know, that's, I don't want to, you know, be really dark and, you know.
Well, negative. No, that there's a parallel, though, with the buildup of fascism around the world.
Exactly.
So it isn't just the U.S. that's going through these problems. We were talking about, Michael and I, that fascism is on the rise throughout the world. And so, again, that was what was going on during that time,
right? And that
was
the Uranus-Pluto. They had the Uranus-Pluto conjunction. She's got it on her chart. Check out that Uranus-Pluto conjunction.
So I think it's important to actually notice that.
Well, her Uranus is, so the 19 degrees Taurus, but her Pluto's at 0 degrees Leo.
Oh, no, it's Jupiter.
It's Jupiter. Her Jupiter is at 17 Aries. Her Mars, 26 Taurus. Venus, 20 Taurus.
What is the Pluto? What is one of the outer
Pluto planets? According to this chart, now, I looked this up online. It says her birth time is 3:10 p.m. And that puts her Pluto at 0 degrees Leo. According to this, she has Moon Scorpio at 18 degrees. Right. So she's kind of getting nailed to.
Oh, Pluto square Saturn, sorry. So look at that 0 point. Pluto... Saturn is in Taurus, right? Is it Saturn in Taurus?
Or Saturn?
Yeah, Saturn in Taurus.
Saturn's at 0 Pluto degrees Taurus. Pluto's at 0 degrees Leo. So that's exactly square on that. That was the beginning of World War II. That's a really intense square, right? And then Uranus is coming in, is in there. So that's very much the rise of...
Pluto's very much a dictator.
Kind the Pluto-Saturn is. And we just had all those Uranus-Pluto squares for... We had 7 of them, you know, in the early... In 2000s, 2010. So,
but Nancy was one of the few people standing up to Trump. Like, remember how she was such a hero during that time where she was outspoken?
Yeah.
And
She's kind of a tough lady.
She's a Scorpio with Moon in Aries.
She's an Aries with Moon in Scorpio. Yeah.
Flipped it. Sorry. Dyslexia.
Yeah. Aries with Moon in Scorpio.
Aries with Moon in Scorpio and Mars in Taurus conjunct Al Ghul. And yes, she is a warrior. She's got a planet of a warrior.
Yeah, Venus in Taurus, Saturn in Taurus, Uranus in Taurus. She's not
She
to be
was
messed
born
with.
In the same basic chart of the World War II. This woman is
That's amazing.
A fighter, you know? And so it's really interesting to me that at this moment in time, her husband gets hit on the hammer. It was so like,
horrible.
It's like called the hammer of the gods. It's like this, but I do think this is must be very, she's also getting, I think, a Neptune return too.
It's the second time that publicly we've all known someone gone after her. Specifically.
Right.
You know, so January 6th, she was named as someone they were looking for her. Yeah.
And it's interesting that phrase kept coming up, the where's Nancy? It happened on January 6th. It happened when they broke into her house. It's like, where's Nancy? It's so creepy.
It is really creepy.
It reminds me of The Shining, you know.
I think the fact that she's so fearless and she's so, you know, she's such a fighter, but I think that could be her, Achilles heel, her weak spot. The male Mars, and that's her husband, and I think this has shaken her up. Like this, probably, you know, this really kind of, you know, and it's her Uranus returning, Neptune returning. It's kind of like, I think she might be having a crisis, bring on a crisis about if she's doing, you know, she really wants to continue forward. And she may have brought that up. I don't know, but but I also think it's very much tied in her, the energy of the rise of fascism and the, you know. And the fact that she has stood for 84 years and lived through this whole this whole transit of Uranus, and it's all back to where it was, and where everyone's buzzing about, you know, the rise of fascism and Nazism, and I just think it's really crazy. I just wanted to bring it up.
She's definitely got an interesting. She's got Mercury in Pisces. That's interesting.
Yeah, she does have a very.
She can be diplomatic And then she sometimes isn't. Sometimes she says stuff that I'm like, Nancy, no. But
she has to. And she's in a man's world. You know, it's like, it's crazy. So that, you know, that ruthlessness is, I think, that Mars in the goal. But I do think the Neptune Pisces stuff is kind of messing with her.
Well, so what do you think? We have time for one more of these little topics here?
Yeah. What time is it? 15 o'clock.
15 o'clock.
You've got plenty of time.
Oh, we have 15.
We have, so get in, losers.
I want to know what this is. Hold my latte. I'm going to make a bold prediction.
Oh, hold my latte.
Hold my latte.
Hold my latte. I'm going to make a big prediction. Well, I was, because I'm, you know, one of those latte drinking, you know, woke liberals, lefty.
Can I get you an avocado toast?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll take it. You can hold my avocado toast.
What are your
toast.
Pronouns?
okay, so should I make my big bold predictions for, you know, after all of that?
After all of that, what are we predicting or what are you predicting? Okay. I'm not predicting.
Do you have
anything.
Me to bring a prediction? I have to make a bold prediction.
You want me to make one?
No, did you bring a bold?
Do you I did one? Not bring one, but you know what? If I feel one come on, believe me, I'll say it. Feel a bold prediction
okay,
coming
let's see,
on.
Let's see what else. We'll save that for last. That'll be the big, that's all the cliffhanger. Right. Maybe people, all y'all fans out there will hang out to the very end prediction.
All right, what about this one? I fought the law and the law won.
Oh, yeah, okay. Cue the music, Marnie.
I like that one.
What is the music? Mars.
I fought the law. And
well, no, I know that music, but I think that's copyright infringement.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's fair use. I think you just did like 5 seconds.
You're okay.
So Mars square Neptune. Oh, this is the Mars square Neptune. Sun enter Sag, Sag new moon, Jupiter direct, square Neptune, Mars. I'm sure these mean something to you. Sexy lady judge?
What?
I'm sorry.
See, that's what
I predict a sexy lady judge. What's happening?
Because I think that's the Pluto, the Venus and Pluto sextile. I thought that was kind of sexy.
Oh, okay.
And the reason that's in there from the prediction is because I think that had to do, that also has to go with the fall of the orange antichrist.
Those go together.
Yeah. Okay.
So, sexy lady judge squares off against the Antichrist. This is Mars square Neptune. So, we've got a lot of Mars square
the
Neptune.
The reason that's
things.
In there is, you know, and
that's going to nail the
orange Antichrist.
The orange Antichrist.
Well, the thing is, the orange Antichrist.
Satanic dreamsicle, whatever he is.
Yes, satanic.
Like that.
We have a lot of names.
He has a lot of names.
Too many names. They shan't be named. He has his son. In Gemini, of course, now it's at 22 degrees.
Oh, good.
Right? Good. So it's getting squared. His son's been getting squared by Neptune since the election, so because Neptune's been at 22. But he was born on an eclipse. He was born on a Gemini-Sagittarius eclipse. So he's got, his son is in Gemini, his moon is in Sagittarius, and they were eclipsing at like within 1 or 2 minutes.
Wow.
At that moment. So it's very, see, like, that's very much the king.
Very.
Right.
The big lie, alternative facts.
All of it. So now Neptune has come along and squared his son. And when it happened, that was during the election. That's why I predicted. I was like, oh, he's going to lose. And his ego is so damn big. When anyone has a Neptune sun square, it's pretty much, I mean, ego death might be a little dramatic, but it breaks down the ego, right? Mm. And he lost an election, right? So the ego was broken down, and it's still, now it's applying even harder because the Neptune is like, it's right on top of it, and Mars is on top of it too. And Mars is always the trigger, right?
Right.
Whenever you're trying to predict something, look, find Mars.
Right.
And Mars will tell you, this is, Mars takes action. Mars
So
with Mars squaring Neptune, and it's on his solar eclipse axis exactly.
Right.
And it's November 19th is the next Mars square Neptune, right? So November 19th, Mars is going to square Neptune, trigger point, right? I'm like, oh, God, okay, we don't even know where we're going to be at then. But that sits right on top of his stuff, which is really interesting because that's when he said he was going to announce his bid for the presidency or the candidacy for the primary for the Republicans. And it's like right on that week. But remember, Sagittarius, this moon coming up, this big moon, Sagittarius moon. Sagittarius is the law. We forget about that sometimes.
Yeah.
It's
law of the justice system.
It's the law of the justice system, and
it's the law philosophically too, just like the idea of law, right? Yeah, law and order.
And that full moon is gonna it squares all of that. It starts on the 19th, and it just implodes. And I don't even know. It looks to me like it's a complete. You know, he's just. You know, it's a
do you think he could go to prison?
I think the law, says right here, or sexy.
Where's the sexy lady judge? Is she going to send him to prison?
Well, the reason I said sexy lady judge, that was a note for myself. I would never have said that out loud.
Right.
But because I was actually thinking about, because we're talking about Sagittariuses, and Stacey Abrams is a Sagittarius, right?
Oh.
So she brings that kind of energy, right? And so it's, and also these judges, and not only judges, but prosecutors that are after him, like Fani Willis and Letitia James, and they're these beautiful black women who are they've got the law. They're the law, you know.
Right. They're like, oh, you want me to play by those rules? Okay. Yeah. I'm going to outplay you now.
So I think that it's all going to kind of crash down on him, and it'll probably be somewhere on the 19th. It might be when he announces his whatever, and most likely, I mean, I'll make a prediction right now. If you know, Santis wins, I mean, this is just dirty politics talk, but who? Santis wins, which most likely it probably will, that's going to set up this thing with him and that's going to play out, and that makes sense to me because that fear of losing that Neptune, his ego has been so I mean? Like, some people can lose the game and just go home, but when you have Neptune also crushing you internally,
right?
And crushing the ego.
It will dissolve your ego. Yeah,
and it'll be interesting, and I think that's how that's going to play out.
And a narcissist cannot deal with that ego dissolution at all.
Yes, thank you, Maureen. The narcissist coming up against someone that he knows, everyone's gonna, you know what I mean? If people turn on, if he feels like he's losing his, you know, his power, his adulation, you know, his narcissism, because he's gonna look at Santa, because that's very clearly happening. I mean, we all know that's coming. You know,
DeSantis is up next, and he scares me even more because Trump is old and he's pretty, I think he's going to be on the way out, but you know, you cut off the head and six more grow. So,
but I do think that's true, and I do think well, that's a whole nother story.
but
that's why trying to game this out with the astrology. That's what I've gamed out. That's what I think is probably going to happen there. I think, and I think a lot is going to come down on him. You know, especially.
But also, the U.S. chart has Sagittarius rising, so that's kind of interesting. I'm hoping that the tension on Trump means he could get in trouble. Like, I mean, I hope that he's not saying that he's delusional about that he won't.
Right. And the 19th, well, his delusions. I think it's going to be even more horrible from the law. That's one thing, but. You know,
right,
losing
the blow to his ego.
Blow
is
to the ego. If so, he's got somebody that people might like better than him.
Right,
you know, that I think that will probably destroy him more than all
that's
the sexy lady judges. You know,
that's a good point.
Right, exactly.
That's what I think.
What? There's some white guy that people like better than me.
Yeah, so I think that I'm gaming that out that way. It could go.
I mean, he's going to have, he already has legal troubles. We know, I mean, he does have legal troubles. That is happening, and that is not going to go away. And I think the biggest fear, of course, is that if, you know, Republicans take over everything, that a lot of that will start to go away. But there's only so much they can do, you know?
Right.
So.
All right, so where are we? We have 7 minutes left. So the countdown to.
Yes.
What was the bold prediction you were going to make?
This one. This one, I just wouldn't believe I have a lot of time for this. You want to try reading that? Because it's kind of fun when you read my notes.
Well, when I try to interpret what's happening.
Let me just read it. And then I can,
when government gets religious, women get screwed.
Right.
Mm.
The Day of Rage. Is this going back to the Iranian
presidential
election?
Yeah, I didn't mean to go back to that, but I think there's something, and this is a whole nother episode we have to do about Zero Aries Point. Mm-hmm. You know about Zero Aries Point.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that's all about. And
oh,
we don't have
the
time.
Arab Spring. Yeah, we went. Yeah,
we
went off
time
on this
to
for a long time.
That,
yeah, it's a lot.
But the idea of when governments get religious, women get screwed, and that's the idea of behind the religious right and the rise of the religious right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's basically what.
Right. It's always women who pay the price.
Well, especially with, because it's a religious. they've made a woman's body's part of the
right.
religion.
Because it's religion is patriarchal, and that's just how it's worked out.
Oh, mm-hmm. This one I stole from Knock LA. Get in, losers, we're salvaging democracy. I thought that was funny.
Hmm. Yeah.
February 18th, transiting Pluto.
All right, well, we only got 5 minutes. You have any bold predictions for the rest?
Yes. Oh, okay. Rest
of my waiting for the
hold my latte. Okay. Oh, Marnie, you can read my
what is this?
My predictions. Let Marnie read the predictions.
Democrats gain
seats. Then you can blame her when it's wrong.
Republican, yeah. Democrats gain seats. Republicans go nuclear with weapons of mass delusion. That's a good prediction. I would think that Mars square Neptune energy. That's going to be a lot of,
right?
Yeah, we're going to war.
Well, so you know, I do think that's how I named you now. That's because your Uranus is in there. I do think
so. The Democrats gain seats on. Is that the House? Is that the Senate? What is the?
They gain more power. So however that works out.
Okay.
Just looking at astrology, like they get the balance of power doesn't really. I don't think it goes too crazy one way or the other,
right?
But they don't lose all the seats, and there is, it's all a red mirage. But the thing is they know this. They're counting on the red mirage,
right?
I mean,
the Republicans have set up this guarantee. If Democrats win, it's right. because they cheated, and if Republicans win, it's because there was no cheating,
right?
And either way, they will feel vindicated
because of the price
we won,
of gas,
or because
right.
well, you cheated, and that's right. the only reason right. you won. So they've set it up.
It's
this
all
way
a setup.
On
it's purpose. All a setup.
We've been set up, and now we're just like sitting here, you know.
Right.
We know we're set up. We're in the car with the mafioso guy that's like, hey, you want to go grab some pasta? And then you halfway through the ride, you're like, he's going to shoot me in the head, and it's too late now. I got sucked into the idea of garlic bread, and now I'm going to be swimming with the fishes.
That's your prediction, Marie. I love it. That's awesome. Yes.
Well, you know, Michael pointed something out in, was it California or some states, Republicans, when they were campaigning, did not put they were Republican on some of their ads. They hid it. They didn't want people to know they were Republican.
And yeah, see, they're sneaky.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I'm independent. No, you're a Republican.
Right.
Or even, in L.A., Caruso running for mayor. He's a Republican, but
he
pretends to be a Democrat
so that
he can win.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. So it is a lot of mass illusion. We have to deal with that. But the thing is, though, that I think by we're not going to go home and go get our popcorn and go, oh, who won? Because it's going to be a fuzzy mess because Mercury Uranus, that's a mess.
Right.
Last, in the 2020, we had the Mercury square Saturn. We had Mercury square Saturn, too. We didn't even talk about that.
Right.
Mercury squaring Saturn, too. So we had that in 2020. And that happens at the end of the day, actually, today.
Mercury so a quick one about LA. Do you think Karen Bass is going to beat Rick Caruso?
Oh, that's a good question. I didn't look at that. I would say, but that's my personal kind of vibe, but I haven't dug down in the astrology on
either.
That one.
I've been kind of afraid to, because I'm very afraid of him and how much he's manipulated people with his
his ad
campaigns.
Oh,
and
I know.
All of his ad campaigns are like, hi, I'm a black woman, and I'm a Yamo, the fire department. And he's purposely tried to show how woke he is, and it's so transparent.
Right.
And people are falling for it.
Say that last one again. Miyamo Fire Department?
Yes.
My name is Fire Department.
No, it was really bad. But it was just, that's what it felt like. It's like he's this total white guy that's like trying to, you know, get all of these, you know, diverse people to come in and, you know, do bilingual ads and talk about how pro-choice he is. And it's just like, it's completely transparent.
Yeah, I saw that too. It made me mad as well.
It's disgusting.
But remember, California is so slow on counting votes. Like, we're not going to know until probably 2028.
We will have fallen into the ocean.
So what's gonna when
guess
we go
who's mayor?
When we go home tonight and we turn on our TV and it's all gonna be like, there's gonna be the red mirages and red waves, there's gonna be all kinds of crazy shit. Don't believe any of it. I mean, we say that with the Mercury stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Because Mercury and Uranus are like, doing their little thing. And backstage, But they'll come out and and fight it out. But right now, at least, and remember in December 6th, that's when a lot of the runoffs will happen. right?
Right.
So we're probably going to have runoffs in like Georgia.
And we're going to have another full moon at 16 right. degrees again. And right. So there's going to be a cycle.
Right. This isn't just election day. It's like election month. And, you know, that's...
Ah, good point.
Yeah. And because in the moons, too, you can, we go from this crazy Taurus Scorpio, scary-ass moon to the Sag Gemini sexy lawyer. And,
right. Know, but also truth and lies.
Truth and lies. Yeah, but things will be more out in the open. We'll know more. We're not going to know for probably, especially Neptune square Mars and Jupiter. Like, we're not going to know, and it's going to be chaos. So everyone, just be cool, drink your lattes, and eat avocado toast. And
hang in there, folks. Thank you both for a wonderful discussion. Thank you coming back. Really enjoyed it, and I hope you all have a good election day. Those in the United States, and stay tuned. Join us next time as we continue to explore the esoteric and the obscure together.
Make lattes, not war.